I'm going to begin this evening thinking just over a few Sundays, just a short theme about growth, about spiritual growth. And we come tonight to the last words of 2 Peter to begin that thought. 2 Peter chapter 3 and at verse 18. 2 Peter 3 and at verse 18. Where Peter just gathers up everything into these last words at the close of his letter to those people he's been calling his dear friends. He says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and knowledge. Well, if you're a Christian, that means, of course, that you read your Bible and you read it every day in order to seek to hear God's word for you for the day. And it means that you pray, and it means that you spend time in prayer every day, giving yourself to God for the new day and seeking God's help. You read the Bible and you pray every day. As the old chorus goes, you read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Except it's not like that. In 2013, the Evangelical Alliance of the UK, they surveyed 1,500 British evangelical Christians. And they found that just half of them engaged with their Bibles at least once every day. They found that only 26% of them set aside anything like a substantial period of time for prayer every day. A further 32% tried to find a few minutes if they could. So there's a lot of people who claim to be Christians, and yet they don't read the Bible every day, and they don't pray much every day either. Now, if you don't do that, will you grow? Will you grow as a Christian? Growing is what Christians do. In verse 18, we grow in grace, and we grow in knowledge, we grow in character, and we grow in understanding of Jesus. It's what Christians do. But if we don't pray, and if we don't read the Bible, and really engage with God every day, will we grow? We want to grow physically, especially when we're children, we want to grow. We think it was very strange, for example, if Hannah stayed the same height all the time, especially when her parents are so tall, we would think it was very strange if Hannah wasn't growing. But every time we see Hannah, she's stretching a wee bit, she's getting a wee bit taller. And that's healthy, isn't it? There's a medical condition where the doctor will write and just say failure to thrive, and that's a serious thing in children. Usually it points to some really serious underlying problem if they don't thrive, if they're not growing. Christians can fail to thrive as well, and we can do what verse 17 says. We can fall from our secure position. We can get carried away by the error of lawless men. In other words, by rubbing shoulders with people of the world constantly, which is what all of us have to do, there's nothing wrong with that, we can, if we don't seek to grow and seek God every day, we can fall. from our secure position as Christians. We can fall down. We can backslide. And so tonight, I'm just beginning to think of this subject in a way of challenging myself and yourselves to really think about growth. I don't want any of you to fail to thrive spiritually. I really don't. I want you all to grow. And that means that we have to see that becoming a Christian really isn't what is the ultimate goal of what being a church is, or you know, it's not that we want people simply to become Christians. We want them to grow. And actually the growth is a far more important thing in the long run. Becoming a Christian is just the beginning. What we read in Ephesians 5 is that God is going to present the church, the whole church, to himself as a radiant church without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. So that's God's goal, and every one of us will have a lot of growing to do to get to that place where we can be part of the church that God presents to himself without spot or blemish. And again, we sing sometimes now in Jude 24, God wants to keep you from falling and to present you without fault and with great joy in the presence of his glory. So to get to that point, you and I have a lot of growing to do. That means that we can't just stop at conversion. We can't just say, well, I'm in now. I've had the experience, or I've crossed the line, or I do now believe that Jesus is the Saviour. That's really not the goal of the Christian church. The Christian church is to present each member faultless in the presence of God's glory. So we can't stop at conversion. We have to grow. We have to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me ask this question tonight. Whose responsibility is it that you would grow? Whose responsibility? What does verse 18 say? Does verse 18 say that God will grow you? Does verse 18 say, do what you please now, folks, you're Christians, and God will make you grow? Is that what it says? No. Well, no, it's not. What it actually says is a command. It says, grow. So Peter writes to the Christians and he says, grow. Christians, you're to grow. In other words, you're commanded, the responsibility is yours. You're responsible for your own spiritual growth. You're responsible for your own spiritual zeal. Just to give another example, Romans 12 verse 11, never be lacking in zeal, Paul says, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Well, whose responsibility and then is it to be zealous, to keep the spiritual fervour of our Christian lives? Paul says it's ours, because if it wasn't ours, he wouldn't command us to keep our fervour. If it was up to God, for example, Paul would say, don't worry folks, God will do it. You don't need to do anything. But what he actually says is, you do it. You keep your spiritual fervour. You keep your zeal. Then someone might say to me, well, wait a minute, Roddy, doesn't it say when Paul's writing to the Corinthians that he planted and Apollos watered, but God made it grow? Doesn't it say that? So who makes it grow there? Well, God makes it grow. Doesn't it say that? Or Colossians 2:19, the whole body, the church, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. So doesn't that mean that God makes things grow? Doesn't that just say that it's up to him and you really don't need to take a part in it, just you'll grow anyway? Once you become a Christian, you'll grow. Well, no, because Paul does say he planted and someone else watered. God didn't do that bit. People did that bit. It's a bit like physical growth. I mean, you can't actually just will yourself to grow. You can't actually say, right, I am 5'7.5". The half's very important to me, you know. I'd like to be, even just 5'8" would be great. So I'm just going to really think about it, and I'm going to do my best just to concentrate on growing. And maybe just, if I think hard enough, I'll just put on that extra half an inch. Well, it doesn't work like that. However, when I was growing up as a teenager, and I was growing, I could have stopped my growth. I could have said, right, I'm not going to eat anything else. I'm not going to eat anymore. I refuse to eat. And if I'd done that, I would have stopped growing. I had some responsibility in the business of growing. I had to look after myself. I had to eat. I had to create the conditions for my growth. The growth itself was a mystery to me. I mean, I had nothing to do with the cells dividing and all the rest of it that makes people grow. But in order to create the conditions for growth, I had to do something. And it's the same with being Christians. Well, growing as a Christian may be a mystery. There may be many mysteries about God working in our lives by His Spirit. But we create the conditions. That's why Paul can command us to grow. Because it's up to us to create the conditions. If we create the conditions, we'll grow. If I create the condition as a teenager to grow, I'll grow. If I eat heartily and get plenty of sleep and exercise and all the rest of it, I'll thrive. I'll grow. And it's the same as a Christian. I create the conditions for growth by eating. And we'll think about what we eat in a minute. So we've got to make an effort if we're going to grow. That's the bottom line. For example, verse 14, Peter says, "So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to the coming of Jesus, make every effort," it says, "to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Jesus." Make every effort. So, again, it's up to us to be found spotless and blameless and at peace. We create the conditions, even though God actually may give, in the end, the growth itself. The miracle of growth may be from God, but we've got to play a part. We've got to eat. So how do we eat tonight? How do we eat so that we're going to grow spiritually? Well, we can get someone to feed us. Tonight, that someone is me. Okay? Tonight, that someone is me. But I'm only here a couple of times a week. On Sunday, prayer meeting maybe a little as well. So, does that mean that you can only feed when I'm about? Are you dependent on me? You can, of course, feed yourself. That's a different thing. Children start off being fed. But very quickly, they learn that they also get food from the plate to their mouths. It might not be pretty at first, but eventually they'll start using a knife and a fork. And eventually they become independent, in a sense. That's not to say that you shouldn't come to church after a while, but you know what I mean. They learn to feed themselves. If I really wanted to insult one of you tonight, I could invite you back for supper. Now, that's not the insulting bit. But I can invite you back for supper. Margaret would make something lovely for us all to eat, no doubt. And we could sit down and I could dish up a plate for you and put it in front of you. And here's how I could insult you. I could then take the spoon and start to try to feed you. Yeah? Now, wouldn't you find that very offensive? That would be very offensive. Just open up. DJ, open up now. Come on, open up. Come on, open up. Now, there's a sense in which that's what I'm doing to you just now. Okay? Spoon feeding. in the sense that you're sitting and I've done the work, several hours of preparation, prayer, studying the word, putting it all together, thinking about it, and now I'm dishing it out. But it's possible for you to be a Christian whose only means of feeding is to be spoon-fed on a Sunday. To be fed by me, like as though you can't feed without the minister or whoever happens to be preaching on a particular Sunday. Now, if you're like that, then you're only going to feed a couple of times a week. And anyone who only feeds a couple of times a week is liable to be undernourished. If you come to church and you have come without praying about what's happening in church and without asking God to really speak to you in church, if you come without meeting with God beforehand, and perhaps afterwards if you just forget what you've heard, then it is very much like I just spoon-fed you. You didn't do anything for yourself, did you? You just came and you sat there and I spoon-fed you. And if you do that, and it's the only time you feed spiritually, then you're not going to grow. I've been here for a long time. I've seen some of you grow, so that I maybe at the beginning looked down on you as a very young Christian, and I've seen you grow, and now I look up to you. Is there anyone here I haven't seen grow? Any of you here who are still being spoon-fed? And while others have grown, you're still much the same as you were 25 years ago. You cannot rely on me or whoever's ministering to you to be your only source of food. It's a bit like being a baby still and just opening your mouth and hoping someone's going to spoon something into it. Peter's command is grow, and that means we've got to do something. We've got to take responsibility. We've got to grow up. And that's what Christians do, and that's how Christians do grow, when they take responsibility for their own food. So, what is the food? Well, the food is not Christian activities. The food is not Christian busyness. Now, many of you are involved in different things that are of great value in this community. Many of you do things to raise funds for missionary work. You do things to care for different sectors of people in our community and society who are in need. And these things that you do are of immense value and very, very important as part of the work of the church. But they're not your food. These things do not feed you. Remember Martha. Martha does not get fed when she's busy for Jesus, does she? She doesn't get fed when she's busy for Jesus. It's good to be busy for Jesus, but we can't substitute busyness for Jesus for feeding. What Peter says here is grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. He doesn't say grow in the grace and knowledge of religion or of good works. These things are important, but you're growing in relationship with a person. Your growth is relationship. It's growth in relationship. And you don't grow relationship by being busy. Every one of us who perhaps has close friendship or marriage relationship knows that when we get busy, then our relationships suffer. And I said to Margaret earlier this afternoon, I've hardly spoken to you since I came home from Edinburgh on Thursday. And it's just been like that for various reasons. There's been lots of activities and lots of things, and I've been away and then Margaret's been away. And I know that we're needing to get together. We're needing to spend time together. Because our relationship does not grow if we're both busy, even if we're busy doing good things. So how do you grow a relationship? Well, everyone knows the secret to growing a relationship. You hear it no matter where you look, whether it's in Christian books or secular books or people's advice, agony columns, whatever. It's the same advice that's always given. The secret to a great friendship, the secret to a lasting marriage, it's always put out. Everyone knows the secret. The answer is there, wherever you look. What is the secret? I'm not about to say something you never heard before. It's really simple. Communicate. Communicate. You've got to do it. The food that we need in relationship to Jesus is communication. That's what we need. Communication. So, if you're in a marriage relationship, but you only communicate once a week, well, what kind of marriage is that? If you're in a marriage relationship and you say, right, okay, darling, now that we're married, we'll have a weekly appointment on Sunday morning and we'll talk for an hour and then we'll leave it till the next week. That's not going to work, is it? I think if I had said that to Margaret, Margaret would have been looking for a quick divorce. And quite rightly, you need to communicate all the time in order for a relationship to grow. And it's the same way. You can't do it. You can't do it just by coming to church once a week or twice a week. You can't do it. If I spoon feed you even twice on Sunday, you're not going to grow just with that. If you actually put effort into it and pray that God will meet with you beforehand and really seek to meditate on and think about what's been said afterwards, then you will definitely benefit. Because now you're not being spoon-fed, now you're feeding yourself. But it's not just for Sunday. It's a daily thing. The goal of all our growth is at the end of the letter here, the last words, to Jesus be glory. Both now and forever. You know, our lives are meant to bring glory to the person of the Son of God. And so, if we're going to do that, we have to grow in a relationship with Him, so that we get into the place where our lives really can give Him the glory and the praise. So we need more than this service tonight. We need to feed ourselves. Peter's saying, grow. And the word there is, it's a command, and it's a command which has a continuous nature. In other words, go on growing. Grow and grow and grow. Don't just do it on Sunday, do it on Monday, and on Tuesday, and on Wednesday. And, you know, over the next couple of weeks, we'll maybe look at some of the detail of how we can grow. But the basic thing is, communicate. We need to be communicating with God. In other words, really giving ourselves to Him. And we need to be hearing His communication to us. In other words, seeking day by day to make sure that we are tuning in to what God wants for our lives. Now, I know that we take responsibility for growing many things in our lives. Many of you take great responsibility to grow your knowledge, and you read a lot, and you're always trying to pick up information and knowledge. You take responsibility for growing your garden, and you put a lot of work into that. But what about growing your relationship with Jesus? What about growing closer to Jesus? This is the thing that is most important in our lives. I can't do it for you. And doing church stuff can't do it for you either. You personally need to be continuously engaging with God. If you're going to grow, you need to be the person that spoons the food in. You need to be the person who reads from Scripture, not just to do the chapter, or not just to tick the box, but the person who actually seeks to hear what God's got to say to you in the passage. And you need to be the person who does the praying. You need to be the person who seeks God. You need to be the person who seeks to emotionally engage with God in prayer. You need to be the person who seeks to give yourself to God in prayer. Communication. I can't do that for you. No one else can do it for you. You do need to do it for yourself. That's why the word grow here is a command. Because it's your responsibility. And if you seek to feed yourself, if you make this something that you do, if you communicate day by day with God, you will grow. But if you don't, you will not grow. And you will miss out on the richness of a relationship with Jesus, which maybe you haven't even begun to really have a glimpse of. The wonders of the glory of that relationship, because you're not communicating. So communicate. That's the message for tonight.